Stand by for action.
Everybody, welcome back to the Punk Till I Die podcast. Neil, how you doing?
I'm doing good tonight, Tom. How are you? It seems like it's been a while, buddy.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Last time we talked, it's snowing. Now the sun's shining.
Ah, how about it? It's fucking weird, man.
It is. It sucks.
Midwest.
Yes. Spring. Neil, we have a guest today. I'm not going to waste very much time because we have a guest on the line tonight.
And, we do.
And the thing is, he comes via another friend of ours. So we should thank our old pal, Dr. Disc.
Yeah,
for facilitating this, two doctors, exactly. So he set us up with one of his peers, a doctor. They probably met at some kind of a high class medical convention or something. I'd
something
imagine
like that, yeah,
proctologist type of get together, maybe. But yeah, our guest tonight is he's somewhere in Southern California. I guess I don't know exactly where. The one and only Dr. Strange. You may have seen him peddling records online or other places. He's a familiar face. His name is Bill. I didn't even catch the last name, but yeah, we have Dr. Strange. So how you doing, Dr. Strange?
I'm doing awesome. And yes, I am in Southern California, which is I'm about 40 miles east of L.A., in Rancho Cucamonga. It's just a straight shot from L.A. or Hollywood.
Huh.
So Cucamonga. So wait, 40 that's a miles. Name you like to
yeah.
say, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
40 miles is what supply takes about 2 hours then to drive that, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you know what? You're right. It could. It could be even longer. There's so many great things in Southern California, all technically within an hour. The desert, the mountains, the beach, Hollywood, and it's just really rare to get there in less than an hour. I remember that the days when I could, and now you can't. Just so much traffic. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Well, Bill, are you a transplant, or are you a native Californian?
No, I was born here. I was born in a city called Hawthorne, which is very close to like Redondo Beach. It's a beach community and okay. Closer, you know, towards L.A. But yeah, I was born gotcha. There.
Because I always wondered, you always had there's another label that I always kind of associate with you, probably not fairly, but they were from the, like, Boston area and, you know, relocated to Southern California. And you always had, like, the Freeze records and stuff. And I always wondered if you were an East Coast guy, too, that relocated. But no, you're a California guy, huh?
Yeah, you're thinking of Tang. Yeah.
Yeah, Curtis, yeah, I'm thinking of Tang.
A Boston guy, and he moved to San Diego.
Yeah. So on top of that, okay, so where did the name come from? I think there's probably several dirty answers to this question, but where did the name Dr. Strange come from?
Oh, I could think of a million dirty answers, but the real legitimate answer is years ago, before I started Dr. Strange Records, which was in 1988, I was at a local thrift store in downtown Pomona, which may not mean anything to some people, but it does to others, and probably going to one of my favorite record stores called Toxic Shock Records. Oh, yeah. And they had this antique mall, or a whole street of, like, antique shops, and just killing time, I was in there, and I saw a comic book by Dr. Strange. I'd never heard of Dr. Strange, no idea what it was. And I really didn't until the movies came out. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I'm like, yeah, that's a cool name. That would be a cool name for a record store. And then a couple years later, I started doing the mail order, and I'm like, all right, Dr. Strange. It was really that easy and nothing more to it than that. I just thought it was a cool name.
Well, because you got the, like, cool logo guy.
Yeah.
You're Dr. Strange, and obviously he doesn't look anything like the weird Marvel magician guy. That's why I'm like, I wonder if that was a different, was that character much different back in those days, or is it the graphic just have nothing to do with nothing?
Well, I had, okay, so like I said, in 88 I started Dr. Strange Records. I had the name, and then I needed a logo.
Ah.
You know what I mean? I actually used the same font I think, if I remember. Yeah, I did. I used the same font as the comic, but I wanted my own logo. So I started with mail order, and the first couple, maybe two or three mail order catalogs was just a hand-drawn, you know, doctor, which didn't look that good. And then one day, I was up the street at a local grocery store in the checkout, and if you guys remember the National Enquirer,
there was
a National Enquirer, and then in the upper, you know, one-fourth, it had the original Doctor Strange logo.
Boy.
The Doctor Strange guy. And it said, Mad Doctor Kills Patients. And it was a drawing of this doctor, like, with sweat on his brow, holding a scalpel. I'm like, I'm buying that. That's the logo. So that's what I used for many years. That's the original logo. And then later, I still use that one, too. But then later, I met a really cool guy, old punk guy named Ragnar. He's a world-famous artist. And he drew a new logo, which is, I just call it the side profile logo, which is just as common. That's the one, like, people get tattoos of. It's really cool. I've just been really lucky to have friends that know how to do things. And he drew an all-original logo.
Well, that's cool. And so I do have to say, we've been actually trying to organize this interview for ages now, and for one reason or another, it's always fallen through. Either Bill had an issue in the shop, or yeah, well, no, I think
that last time it was my fault.
Yeah, I think Tom had to work. He was called into work or something. Last week we were supposed to do it, and I got sick. It was just, it's one thing after another, man. So I'm just really happy that we managed to get you on tonight. It's very.
I know. That's mostly my fault. Just from being busy and stuff going on and having bands come in. My buddy was here from England and just being busy, you know, with the store and everything else. And it's like, oh God, I gotta do this. I felt bad.
So
are you in the store? Are you in the store yourself pretty much every day?
No, I'm there like 4 days a week. Luckily, I live right across the street, like literally across the street.
Nice.
30 feet away. So, you know, because I do stuff at the store, of course. And then I do my other stuff, like when I order things or email people, or I do that at home on my computer. Because when I'm at the store, it's just too much going on. It's too much fun, too many people, and I just don't have the time to do it. I mean,
well,
like,
you're kind of a long time. You're kind of a recognizable guy because you've done so much online stuff over the years, I think. Some people are walking and go, hey, it's that guy.
It does. It happens. If I go to a gig, like we went to see X, which were still great. X, phenomenal band, man.
Yeah, good.
They, I've been playing for 47 years, all original.
All original members, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they played at a casino. But I love doing that stuff, taking pictures and with customers, or people say, you're that fucking guy, that weird guy on on your video. I see you. I always apologize for the mom joke. But yeah, it's a blast. I love that. It's because I wouldn't be here without people that buy things, or fans, or whatever you want to call them. I'm only here, and I have the best job in the world. It's not a job, but you know what I mean? Like, I get to do what I really love, and I have for 35 years.
Nice. I'll tell you what, Neil. I'm going to let you guys play a song real quick, because my stupid-ass dog needs to come in, and I'm the only one home.
Okay.
So why don't you guys play a song, and I'll be right back.
So, okay. Bill, so you picked out, when I said pick some songs, man, I was expecting you to pick stuff from your record label over the years, but instead you picked out a bunch of super old school stuff, which is great, because, I mean, I'm over 60, so this floats my boat right here. So,
yeah, that's the stuff that got me into music, or is very important to me, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to, like, pick stuff on the label, because I love everything on the label, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't put it out. And I don't want to hurt someone's feelings that I didn't pick, so better to pick things that got me into music, or into punk.
That's a good reason. Okay, so of this list, what do you think we should play first? Does it matter to you?
They're all just, man, whatever. My two all-time favorite bands are Stiff Little Fingers and the Dickies, both of which still play, and they both kick ass, but I don't care what you play, whatever you want.
All right, so in that case, because I actually had the Dickies at the top of the list, so we're going to play first, we're going to play Curb Job by the Dickies. So obviously you go way back, probably with these guys. I assume you know these guys, right?
Yeah, I do. I haven't really met Leonard, but I know Stan, and you know, the current lineup. Yeah, I know them.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fans of the store. They've been to the store, and you know, hang out, Adam, the drummer, and yeah, they're really good guys.
Yeah, one of the first times I got familiar with them, because I was back, I lived in England till 83, so they toured with the Jam in 78. Oh, 79. So it was 78. It was 78. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They did the UK tour in 78. So that was the first time I really was aware of the Dickies. But anyway, yeah, so let's listen to, Curb Job by the Dickies, obviously. That was the Fabulous Dickies with Curb Job. So let's go back. Let's go back to the beginnings. Like, how did you get into punk for the first time? I'm assuming that was it older brother or something, or how did you get into it?
Well, it's an excellent guess, and the Dickies have something to do with that. I have an older sister. She was more into, like, she's 6 years older, so she was like a big Jackson 5 and the Commodores and, you know, things like that. She was never into punk. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend that I've known since third grade, and he is the one that had the older brother. He was a couple years older than us. I was listening to music and just kind of experimenting, like, with before punk, there was, like, new wave. For me, it was all about new wave, like Cheap Trick or the Cars or I got the Pat Benatar, stuff like that. And then the first real punk band was probably the Dickies. And going to the Whiskey was my very first show with my buddy Glenn. We went to the Whiskey to see the Dickies because, you know, his brother or Devo or, you know, bands like that. Anyway, getting back to the story, went to the Whiskey, saw the Dickies. And then from there, my world just exploded. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. And it's so different. You know, growing up then, as I'm sure you remember, it was just completely different because it was all new.
Yeah.
Totally unique. And then, you know, like then the next week we saw Social Distortion and Bad Religion at the Whiskey playing together. And it just took off from there and just kept buying records.
What year are we talking about then? This real early 80s?
Yeah, I mean, I got into music when I was like 79 is when I was listening to New Wave. And then, you know, I think that the Dickie show was probably 81-ish.
Okay.
Hmm.
So at what point? So you got into, I mean, you were just like at the end of the first wave, more or less. At what point did you?
I consider myself a third wave, a third generation. Because like if punk was like 77, and I was going to or listening to real punk rock in 1980. Because you got to give credit where credit is due, you know, with those other guys. But I mean, I almost got to see the Germs, but we didn't go to that. And then I almost got to see Oingo Boingo in 80, but then we didn't end up going to that. And then we went to see the Dickies. But yeah.
And the whiskey is still going, right?
Yeah.
So if I ever make it to LA, Tom, I got to go to the whiskey.
You ever take that 3-hour drive from San Diego to LA? Huh?
Yeah, my daughter just moved. My daughter just moved to San Diego a few months ago. So,
cool.
I always threaten to drive up to LA, but we haven't done it yet. We haven't made that drive yet.
You should go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Go to the. They're doing a Pulp Fiction screening for Johnny Ramone's birthday this year.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Well, that might be pretty cool.
And they're having like a super group play Ramon songs. It was CJ and I can't remember who it was. Some big name. Billy Idol. Yeah.
Billy Idol's going to be there. Yeah.
I hope he does a better job than he did with the Generation Sex or whatever. We didn't know the words to the Sex Pistols songs. That was pretty embarrassing. Funny. Yeah. It's too bad. Too bad. All right. Yeah. So from there. What other bands were you getting into at that time?
Well, I mean, I remember really liking, I love female fronted vocalists. So I got into Blondie and the Suburban Lawns and the Waitresses and the Flying Lizards. And then I got into XTC and the Buzzcocks and then Stiffle Fingers and Vice Squad and Circle Jerks and Black Flag. And, you know, the list goes on and on. Adolescence.
So were you going to see, going to some of those classic LA clubs that we always hear about, like the Cuckoo's Nest and stuff? Did you make it out there?
I didn't go to the Cuckoo's Nest. That was by the beach in Costa Mesa. I didn't have my driver's license.
Gotcha.
I went to like the Stardust. I went to the Stardust, you know, Hong Kong Cafe de Grand.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that in LA or Hollywood, but never out, well, it was early 80s until I went out to the beach. There was a cool place called Ronnie's, I think Blackie. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool places, but I never made it to the Cuckoo's Nest.
I saw a really cool documentary on, was it Madame Wong's or whatever? And,
yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and like she had this big competition between her place and then another place. Was that the Hong Kong Cafe? Was the other place kind of close by?
Yeah.
And they were like one had new wave bands, one had punk rock bands or whatever.
Chinese restaurant that was hosting bands essentially, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, you play wherever you can play. You know, that's in Detroit in the early 80s, like the only places the punk bands would play was like the gay clubs. So all the gay clubs kind of morphed into punk clubs. So at this point, you're going to shows. Are you getting involved with the scene, or are you pretty much just a spectator still at this point?
Just a spectator, just going, just hanging out, just tripping out. And just, you know, it was very nerve-wracking because, you know, I've seen all those great, I've seen like the Dead Kennedys and Fear and Circle Jerks, but then I've never seen Black Flag because they had a reputation. Like if you went to a show, I'm not sure where you guys are, but if you showed up not looking right, you're getting your ass kicked, your head shaved, whatever the case may be. And Black Flag had that reputation of like, you better fit in. And I was like, oh man, I want to see them, but I'm too nervous to go.
Well, and the cops, right? They always had the riots. The riots seemed like they were always those Black Flag shows, the big cops beating on the kids and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. I've been in riots. But one of the worst, man, was the Dead Kennedys at the Longshoreman's Ballroom. It was the Dead Kennedys and DOA, Youth Brigade. Who else was there?
Wow, these bills, Neil. These would be like $1,000 festival. $1,000 festival.
Oh, yeah. It was only $6.
Exactly.
$6. And the cops burst in with tear gas and helicopters. I mean, they were a shit ton beating people up, two of my friends got beat up by the cops. I almost got trampled to death, literally. It was mayhem. Tear gas, the whole bit. It was insane.
I think actually, Mike, we had Mike McGran on not too long ago, Channel 3, and I think he might have told us about that show. They might have played that show.
He said
I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did. Mike's coming in. Channel 3's coming in next week to play the store.
Make sure hi. Man. Make sure you say hi from us, because we've had Mike on a couple times. I love those guys. He's the best.
Looks great.
Oh yeah, I'll tell him. I just talked to him through email earlier today.
Excellent.
So it's funny, as a guy who was there the first wave, you don't consider yourself first wave, but you were there in the early 80s when these shows are going down. So when you see this something like, what's the name of that big show that's going down in L.A., Neil? No Values?
Oh, the one that's in Pomona? Yeah. I think it's in Pomona, right?
So do you have any interest in going to that?
Yeah, very close to me.
So do you want to go to that? Or is it like a situation where you're like, man, I saw these guys and they're young. I don't want to go mess with this now.
No, I can't wait. I can't wait. I was so anti-festival, but I really like them now. After going to the first, I went to Punk Rock Bowling for the first time last year. Because I'm like, fuck that, bunch of jocks, bunch of dicks, bunch of posers. But then I went, I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I saw like high school friends, and everyone was cool. And I'm like, God, I wish I would have gone since day one. So, and then the No Values is honestly like 12 miles away, and there's a lot of great. You gotta go. It's just and we're gonna have a table. Dr. Strange will have a table to sell things there. But
that's cool.
Even without that, it's just a cool thing to hang out and see friends and stuff.
Looks amazing. The problem that we were looking at the lineup going, I mean, how you watch 30? I mean, you can't. You have to pick and choose. And some are easier to, you know. Obviously, some taste lead one way or toward another. But you just, to me, it seems like it's going to be a major frustration trying to who are you going to miss?
Yeah.
You know,
one day. Yeah, all those bands in one day. Yeah.
Yes, you definitely will. They showed me, because my friend is one of the guys helping to do it, and he showed me the layout. There are four stages. And there will be overlap. So what you said is 100% true. You might be able to see, like 10 minutes of one band. But if you really want to see the next one, then you have to bail out on that band and go to the other and just keep kind of bouncing back and forth. But whatever. I'm going just to see the bands is secondary to me. Just to go hang out and have a good time. That's the first thing. And that's, you know, with that attitude, that's a win-win.
And I'm sure you're going to have a lot. It's going to be like a class reunion, right? You're going to just see people you probably haven't seen for the longest time. No, that's cool.
Oh, there's people coming in from all over the place. Yeah.
It's like, as an outsider, as a Midwesterner, it's intimidating to think about trying to go to this thing. I don't know anything about the layout or anything else. But, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see what people say about it. If it's the greatest thing ever and they do it again next year, who knows? Maybe we'll fly out there, Neil, huh?
When's it? Is it in June? Is that when it is?
June 7th, I think.
Okay.
That's coming up soon enough that some of the, hopefully there won't be too many guys in the bands die between now and then, even.
Actually, believe it or not, Laura's actually talking about us going to England to see Rebellion this year.
There you go.
I already bought tickets.
Oh, you did?
I bought tickets for that for me. Yeah, me and my wife. I went to the very first one in 96 to the
Holidays in the Sun. Yeah.
Yeah, and then my buddy, the Black Adder, he was just here. He just left today, just like an hour ago.
The Black Adder? What is it, Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah, because, okay, well, long story short, he loves that show. And I just don't like that show. I think it's fucking stupid. I love Little Britain. Yep. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. So, anyway, everyone gets a nickname, and that's his nickname. But, his name is Paul. He runs North Records, and he has a booth, and he's helped run Rebellion. And he manages Cox Bar and the Buzzcocks and the Subs and... So anyway, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going, gotta go. It's been a long time since I've been to the UK, and I'm really looking forward to it. For the same reason, just hanging out with old friends from Scotland and the whole bit, just hanging out.
It's killer lineup. Killer lineup again.
Oh, man.
All right, Neil, let's play a song. Let's play a song.
Okay, we are going to do, because he mentioned Devo, so we're going to play Devo. Now, Social Fools, tell us why you picked this song, because this isn't, like, obviously one of their most well-known songs.
I believe.
B-side.
It is. It's the B-side. I just love that song. Devo, man, they are such an amazing band, and they still are amazing, and they're playing Punk Rock Bowling. I've always loved that song. I couldn't pick a favorite song, because they have so many. Certain bands, you're like, man, I cannot pick a favorite song, but I always have loved that song of theirs.
Interesting. Okay. Let's give this a spin. Devo, Social Fools.
1, 2, 1, 2. If you obey society's rules, you'll be society's fools. If you obey, they will be superheroes.
Night Diva.
So what's that the B-side? What's that the B-side from?
Is it a B-stiff? It's Social Fools is the B-side of, I think it's B-stiff.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was also the B in the UK. It was the B side of "Come Back, Joni."
Okay, all right, yeah.
So, good stuff.
So you're going to shows in Greater LA area. You're getting into all these bands. It changed your life. I mean, at what point do you decide, man, I need to? How does the distro come together? Did you see a need that needed to be filled, or did you just want to get involved, or how did you end up starting the Doctor Strange distro?
It was just kind of like a goal, or, I mean, people should always do what they really like to do. And sure. At that time, you know, I was going to school. I planned on becoming a school teacher because that runs in my family. A lot of my, you know, relatives, mom, dad, uncle, the whole bit, were school teachers. And I'm like, that'd be a cool job to have. I could affect people in a positive way because that's what punk rock is to me.
Yeah. Huh? Plus, you get summers off.
You get summers off. And I'm like, cool. Oh, you know, that would be a good thing to do. But, of course, I'm still going to gigs, going to record stores, spinning every single penny, literally, on records every single week or weekend, driving to Hollywood or to Long Beach to a really cool store called Zed or to Toxic Shock in Pomona. And I'm like, wow, I could buy a couple of these records if I get a fair deal. Buy two or three of them and sell the other two at a fair price, and basically that would pay for my record. Uh-huh. So I just started like buying more and more records, and I got in touch with a really cool label, Small Wonder from the UK. They put out Craft.
Yeah.
But Mari
Walthamstow, yeah.
Yeah. She also did mail order. And so I was buying records from her, and she had like rudimentary peni and X-ray specs and Craft for God, I mean, back, it's been a long time, but back then, probably $2, and she had unplayed copies, so I'm buying 5 to 10, and I just put a catalog together, and I put an ad in Flipside and Max from Rock and Roll, and that's it. It's just off to the races after that. And I get very into, when I get into something, I'm into it, I'm going to make it work, and, you know, it took a long time to make it work, but I was still going to school, waiting tables, working at a pizza place, and all that stuff, living by myself, you know, and, yeah, just having fun doing it.
With just boxes of records in your apartment and load them up and send them out. So, yep,
exactly.
Which was next then, the store or the label? Label must have been next.
The label was next. Yeah, the mail order is 88, the label was 89, and I was only going to do one record because that was just a goal. I was just writing on goals, you know, like, I want to do this, I want to write a book, I want to put a record out, I want to do this. So, boom, did that. I got in touch with my friend, DJ. I went to a school out here called Upland High, and there was a band called Manson Youth. DJ is a couple years older, and they recorded a bunch of songs. I'm like, how about if we do a 7-inch? Just so I can say I did it. So we did that, and it sold 500 in like 2 weeks I was able to sell. And I'm like, okay, that was fun. I'll do it again, and I'll do it again. And there you go. And now I'm up to 150-something.
So how did you find out about, like, how to get records pressed and stuff like that? Was something you had friends in the industry, or was that just, did you just figure it out by asking people and asking around?
That's a great question, because everyone today's thought is, let's just Google it, just go on the computer. But the computer didn't exist. And when I started doing the mail order, I had to type it out on an old typewriter. Every single month, I would do a new catalog. So I would have to retype it because I'd have to not include what sold and add the new one. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it was. It was years until I got a word processor that made a big difference. But back then, it's all about the yellow pages. Like, okay, or calling information or buying a magazine like, you know, like Doc Disc, Goldmine Magazine. I saw ads in there, or I'd write record labels. I think I wrote to Ian from Discord saying, where do you get your records pressed? And there was a place in Tennessee, still there after probably 50 years, literally, called United. So he's like, I use this place. Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. So I just wrote him a letter, said, here's what I want to do. And they sent me an order form. And, you know, that was it. It was all just word of mouth and asking someone that's done it, or if you can't find that person, you have to be a detective and figure it out on your own. That's total DIY. Do it yourself. Figure things out. I think the world today is way too easy, you know, like with everything.
Everything's accessible. Yeah.
It's the dumbening of America and the dumbening of the world when you don't have to think about adding or think about spelling or think about directions or anything. And that is insidious. It just sneaks up on you. And I guarantee our I guarantee you that our IQs are probably less than they were when we had to think, because you have to train your brain and exercise your brain, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to do, and I do it too, but, oh, man, I just hate that.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, thinking back 20, 30 years ago, you probably had like 6 phone numbers memorized, 7, 10. I can't even remember. I can't even remember.
But it was number. Your grandma and your best friend from fifth grade and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I can still remember.
And the girl
my
I wanted
number.
To pester. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my number from the early
70s. I remember my parents' number growing up. Well, it's funny too, because you'd be watching a movie. It's like you were saying with the brain thing. You'd be watching a movie and you'd be like, "Oh, what do I know this guy from?" And yeah, you'll Google it. My wife always chides me for that. Stop looking at your phone.
I never do that. My wife will circle. I'm like, it'll come to you. Exercise the brain. Your brain. I never do that. It might come to me the next day, but it always does.
There you go. I'm trying to get my brain to totally atrophy. I'm halfway there.
It's all the alcohol, buddy. Yeah, exactly. It's all the booze.
Right? That does not help.
Yeah.
All right. So let's play another song, just because there's so many of them, and we got a real brief spot here.
All right. Let's do. Okay, so Blondie. Yeah, I guess if you got into new wave and stuff first, I guess that would have been the perfect segue, right?
Oh, hell yeah!
I love Blondie. I still love Blondie. In the early days.
Yes, they kill.
Well, that's a good question, actually. So do you keep buying all the late, because they keep putting albums out. Do you buy the newest albums, or do you just go back to the old stuff all the time?
Well, you know, it depends on the band. Blondie, I do buy. And then you have, like, the Pretenders, they put something new out, so I'm like, I'll support them. I bought that. But when I opened the record store, because I still have, like, records from high school. I have a decent collection, but that's my addiction is, work. I'm a workaholic. Or I'm a recovering workaholic, and also I have the addiction bug for records. So I would, like I said earlier, I would spend every penny on records, and I'm glad I did, but records were more important than food. But when the store opened up, I'm like, I have to stop doing this, because if something really cool comes in, I'm not going to sell it. So I just quit. Cold turkey. Yeah. So I'll buy a new record, but a rare record? Nope, I have mine. I'm cool with that. I'm happy with that. But yeah, of course, I still buy new stuff because I don't want to live in the past. Although for the most part, I do, because I just love that music. But there are new bands I really like as well.
Now, the reason I ask that is just because for a lot of bands, I mean, I bought all the later Buzzcocks albums, I bought all the later Ramones albums, yada yada. But some of the Blondie ones, I've tried to buy some of the newer ones over the years, and they're just not really doing it for me. It's not even the same sound
as
it used to be. So yeah,
the last really good song from Blondie I liked was Maria.
A fantastic song, right? Yeah. That should have been number one all over the world. That is a fucking great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic sound. All right, well, we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine. I think this was 78, 79. Blondie hanging on the telephone.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
I'm in the phone booth. It's a one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just ring it off the wall. She said, I told you to.
Obviously, that was Debbie Harry and Blondie there with Hanging on the Telephone. It was a big hit in England. Man, they were in the charts constantly in England. It was crazy.
In, you know, 78 speaking of that 80, song, 81. Which is a great song, it took me years. I never knew that was a cover. That's the nerves. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think we've actually played the original before. I think we've played the original on the show before, actually.
Oh, yeah, I have that 7-inch. That's how I found out. I found that record at a store, and it looked cool. I picked it up. I'm like, whoa, what a trip. That blew my mind.
Yeah. There you go.
So you, what's the timeline between the label and the store? Like, when you started the label, you said in 90 or something?
89,
yeah, 89, and the mail order 88, and I just worked out of my apartment and in my house until 96, where I moved into a real store. And the store is a really cool building in Altaloma, which is the same as Rancho Cucamonga. It's from 1906, which is very old, especially for Southern California. It was the first post office, and yeah, it's a really cool building.
Have you been in that same building since you opened?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. So when I'm always interested when you get, you're obviously a big record collector. When you were first getting the store going, I mean, I assume it was kind of a shoestring budget. Did you have to sell any of your like favorite stuff to just kind of make ends meet? Did you kind of have to put your collection out there for sale?
No, I mean, I did it early with the mail order because people would write, you know, before there was email, they would write me and saying, oh, I'm looking for this, looking for that, which I had all that stuff, of course. And I'm like, well, I haven't listened to that in a while, and I want to get the reputation. So I would sell some of mine, but not a whole lot, maybe like 10 or 15. Just that way you get a repeat customer, you get a happy customer, and the best selling point of anything business is word of mouth, way better than advertising. You know, it's all word of mouth, because when it comes by word of mouth, you respect that person more than you see in a commercial, which you instantly think they're trying to make me buy something. But my friend's not making me buy anything. He's telling me go to the store. So yeah, I did do that, but not a whole lot, not that much.
Do you have a record that has been high on your want list for years?
No,
personally.
No? I've got all my. I mean, no. I think I have all my records. I'm sure there's records I'd love to have, but I just don't want to get back into that addiction bug. You know, like once in a while, my deal is this. Let's say a rare record comes in, which it does, and sometimes I do keep it. But here's my rule, and I've always done it. If I keep a rare record that comes into the store, I have to trade a rare record of equal value out of my own collection.
Ooh.
Even Steven.
Oh, man.
And I've done it. Because I'm telling you, people listening, you know this, that addiction bug, whether it's gambling or drugs or whatever, it's like, yeah, it can get out of control.
Yeah, but record collecting is pretty
But haven't you said that?
It's not, you're not hurting anybody by that.
Haven't you said that too, Neil? Because I know you occasionally run out of room and then you have to add another cabinet or whatever, but I've definitely done that. Yeah. Where I'm like, that's it. This is the most stage space I'm going to have. If I want to get something else, I'm going to have to make room for it by taking something else out. And I never stick to it. I always add more space. But
I know.
You just cram more in.
Yeah. They're just so tight there, you can't even get them out. Had to mangle,
yeah, exactly.
Mangle the covers to pull them out.
So
you started out doing your buddy's band, Manson Youth. So is that, so you sold 500 of those. Did you ever repress it? I wonder if that's like a valuable record now.
I think it's like $10 or $15. It's a great record. They're just the epitome of really cool, because it was recorded in 83. Okay. So it's just that Southern California. I did 2 7-inches by them, and they're really good, really intelligent lyrics and hard driving. I still talk to those guys. Like to DJ the singer and Corey Miller, he's like the world famous tattoo artist, and I still see him. They come into the store. Everyone's still local. It's really cool. So yeah.
So how do you hook up? Okay, so how do you go from doing your buddy's band then? Because it seems like, and then all of a sudden you're doing. So one of your like staple artists was Bullweevils from Chicago. This kind of the like post. Naked Ray Gun Standard Bearers for Chicago. Really? How'd you end up hooking up with those guys?
Pretty much.
just because they're kind of local to us. We see them all. I mean, not all the time, but they still play quite a bit.
Yeah, and the new record Essentials is really super good.
It is really good.
Yeah, they came out. I was able to convince them to come out and play a show. It's been less than a year, but I love those guys. They're like that's a band. They're my friends. Love that band, and they still kick ass. But to answer your question, is the more you do, and you're placing ads in, you know, international magazines like Maxim Rock and Roll or Flipside, and you have an ad saying, "Hey, I have a Manson Youth record. Hey, I have a Rhythm Collision record," or whatever the ones you've done, and then all of a sudden you'll start getting cassette tapes in the mail,
demos.
Right, from other bands. Or I was actively going out to gigs, which is being in Southern California, the best place for punk rock and to find bands. There's no shortage. So I would, you know, find a band, talk to them, pay for everything, put out the record, and then that just keeps, you know, going and going and going. And then once again, word of mouth, and like the Bull Weevils were big fans of the label, and Ken Weevil sent me a cassette, and I'm like, well, these guys fucking are awesome. Hell yeah, I'll do a record for you, and that was it.
So you did the vast majority of everything they put out.
Yeah.
So are you still actively putting out new stuff? Because actually, Dr. Diss said, ask about that. He's got a bunch of new stuff coming out. I guess I didn't know you were really actively putting stuff out. So what are we doing as far as that goes right now?
Well, you know, I took a long break when I opened the store and the mail, things were super busy and I was getting stressed. And I'm like, oh, I got to take a break. And then vinyl was dying, and CDs were taking over, people are Napster, people are burning things, mm-hmm. or downloading, whatever the case is, and I'm like, oh, I gotta take a break, because it was stressing me the fuck out. I just had to take a break. So I did take a break for a few years, 3 or 4 years. My whole thing is, if it's not fun, don't do it. Because I don't need the label to make money, although some bands have, you know, I'm like, if it's not fun, I'm not gonna do it. And then a couple years ago or so, I've done things in between, but then Voodoo said, we want you to do our new record and then re-release the old stuff. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll do that because I love you guys. You're a great band. Then I said, well, if I'm going to do that, then I may as well do other stuff, including reissuing stuff like Stank and Pickle and the government issue, and then signing new bands as well. But then I bit off way more than I could chew because records take forever. Yeah. To get pressed, and they're expensive. So, but I'm getting back on track. I think I have eight or nine more records until I can start doing more stuff. I have like 3 or 4 government issue Field Day, which is basically Jack Nasty.
Yep, Field Day is great. Yeah, they're great.
Yep.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, great. That's the next one. That is the next release coming out.
So is that a new album then?
Yeah, full length.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done like 3 EPs, right? I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done it. Yeah, they're really good. They played the store, too. They're cool. Good guys.
Yeah, we saw them at Punk Rock Bowling, actually, at a pool party. That was a good time.
Oh, man, the pool parties are awesome.
Yeah, they are. They are fun. So, something like, because it struck me, especially, like, it might be because the manufacturing is such a pain in the ass right now, but, like, you know, obviously, the Bowie was put out their first new album in, I don't know how many years, long time, and the original Doctor Strange album, Stick Your Neck Out, and Heavyweights go for a pretty good dollar. Mm-hmm. They're not super easy to come by. And so I'm like, boy, it seems like it would have been a really good opportunity to get those back out there. Has there been any talk about that? Not to get into your business, but I'm like, man, I would love that if those albums got repressed. I have my CD, I'm sure the majority of them are CD at that point.
Right. No, I want to do that for sure, but I just don't want to. You know, like I talked to Zach from Zoinks, they want their stuff redone, which I want to do. It's just, my mouth is still full from biting off more than I can chew, but I want to do it. I just want to get things cleared out, and then that way, when I say I'm going to put something out, it won't take a year to do. I can do it in a couple or a few months. That way, it's more fair to the band, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I want to do. They're all in the works. Like I have Broken Bones, I have The Partisans, I have so many great records. I have to refresh every Voodoo record. I have to repress Skank and Pickle. I have a new Decry, which I love Decry. They're one of my favorite bands from the early 80s. They still kick ass. Saw them last week. So there's just so much shit. Oh my God, so much. And then most of my time is spent at the store. And there's just, you know, there's so much stuff. And I need to take a break.
Are you doing a list? Are you doing all this stuff by yourself, or do you have like a staff working for you?
Well, I have people that work at the store. There's like six people, but when it comes to the heavy thinking, the label, the money, the ordering, and once again, I am a workaholic and I am a control freak, and I need to let that go. But sometimes you can't, because that's kind of who I am. It's in my DNA. It's really difficult to do that. So I need to do that. But then on the other hand, let's work this far, so why not keep it going?
On a selfish personal note, I'd love to see. I think the 90s Freeze albums are actually criminally underrated. I think they're all really good.
Yeah, and another repress I'm doing.
I was going to say, because I would love this. I have them all on CD, and I would love, and I'm starting to get, like, they repressed, the first two have been repressed. I got them on vinyl, but I would love to get the later Freeze stuff on vinyl, because they never really made a bad album. People stopped paying attention, but they always made a bad album. So, all right.
Well, the one I'm going to do is one that I did. It's called One False Move. It's one of my all-time favorite Freeze records. Edward Goring artwork, and that is, it's been mastered. It's in the line. It's one of those records I just mentioned.
I need to be patient, Neil. I can't stand it.
It's hard, but they got Bill. They got Bill back in the band, the original guitar player. With Cliff. Back with Bill, and they're working on new stuff. And that, you're right. I can't think of one bad record. And Cliff is an evil genius. He's a good guy, but he's his own worst enemy. And his lyrics are so really deep and intense and sad in a lot of ways.
Addiction
and mental illness. And that guy, I'm really shocked he's still alive. I'm glad he is.
Yeah.
He was put through the ringer by his own accord for the most part, but yeah, he's a good guy.
I never got a chance to see them. They're at the top of my bucket list of bands I would like to see, and I pitched him to come on one time, and he said he was up for it, but he actually to come on and talk to us, but he was kind of waiting on the new album, and I know he was very angry at Slope at that time, the record label that put out their last record.
Yes, I know.
There's a lot of, but anyway,
yeah, he just ask him about Curtis from Chain.
Well, I was going to say that's the reason.
Oh boy,
that's the reason I hate to make a parallel between you and that other label, because I've never heard any artists complaining about your label, and I've never heard any artists say anything good about that other label. So,
yeah, I don't. That's probably the case.
Even though I have a ton of records on that label too. Man, he put out a lot of really good records. No question.
Oh hell yeah, I do too. He has a lot of good stuff.
But, you know, it's like, Neil, we were talking about Victory Records earlier out of Chicago. You know, when you hear band after band after band is suing, it's like, oh, boy, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but usually where there's smoke, there's fire. You know? So,
yeah. Well, yeah, if that many people are saying something, probably. I know, it sucks. And that's the one bad thing about being involved in this is, like, you know, like, you don't want to meet your heroes. Like, I never really talked to Leonard from the Dickies that much, but I know the other guys, and I know Leonard's a good person, but he's very mentally ill. You know, he's very...
Is he hard to deal with?
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I don't want to meet that guy, because I put him on such a high pedestal. Like, Stan Lee, that guy kicked ass. He's super cool.
Yep.
But you know what I mean? I don't want to... I'd rather just, in my imagination, rather have it that way.
Yeah,
like
no,
a hero to me.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I was always heartbroken when I found out that the Ramones actually hated each other. That broke my heart completely.
Well, we used to ask.
Yeah, you don't want to know that. You don't want to know that.
Yeah.
One of our questions we used to ask a lot when we had a guest on who had been around for a while was, "Did you ever have any interaction with the Ramones, Bill? Did you ever have any interaction with the Ramones?"
No, I saw them, but you know what? I don't want to get crucified. I like them, but I don't love them. I like the later stuff.
No, I love them, but the...
Like Mondo Bizarro and stuff?
No, the thing is, we'd ask people, like, do you ever have any interaction with the Ramones? And I remember, like, a few people were like, yeah, I met him, and Johnny was a real dick to me, or, like...
I've only seen them, and I'm glad I did. But they were never, like, a bucket list, like, oh, I gotta see this band.
I saw the Ramones and Blondie. Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I did too. I did too on the Escape from New York tour in 1989, I think.
That's
I saw that one too. Yeah.
Well,
It was cool. It was good. Yeah, it was a good one. All right, let's play another song. So you got Vice Squad on here from England, obviously from Bristol. Why did you pick Vice Squad, and do you have any connection to those guys? Did you put out any of the records or anything?
No, I never put the records out, but that's one band, because, you know, I was heavily into the UK scene in the early 80s, and Vice Squad, Last Rockers, it's such a great song. Yeah. And it's still a great song. You know, speaking about just the stupidity of human beings and the destruction of the world, and that's one thing that was really, I mean, you know that, Neil, being yep. your age is, or our age, me and my friends had a plan. Like, when Russia launches a nuclear assault, because it's coming, we're all going to go to my friend Gary's house, have one last drink together, and die together. And that was it. And that was a real thing. And it was scary. And that song really epitomizes, you know, how close the world was. Because it really was. It was scary.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen. Obviously, this is Vice Squad. I assume most of you out there.
This is a female front of band, right?
Yes.
Becky Bondage. Yeah. Yeah. And they're still going. They still put out records all the time, actually, which is, I haven't heard them recently, but.
I see the photos. Old Becky Bondage seems to be pretty much holding it together.
Oh, she does. Yeah. I saw them play. Yeah. She's still pretty. Yeah.
Not that I'm allowed to judge such things, but.
Yeah, what are you going to get us canceled? Yeah. Settle down, Beavis. Yeah. All right. Vice Squad. Last Rockers.
Spin. I hear them fighting the war that no one can win. I'm too young to die, too late to live, as politicians do the thing no God can forgive. We'll be right back.
that was one of the actually one of the first releases from Vice Squad, as a matter of fact. That was
first seven inch.
Yeah, I've got that somewhere for sure. Yeah, Last Rockers. Let's see what else. Okay, so you've got a whole waiting on a whole bunch of new stuff to come out then on the label. Like when are you expecting some of this stuff to hit?
In the next couple field day's probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And then after that, government issue U, that's never been reissued. That should come out a month after that, and then maybe a month, because I need time to prep, to sell it, to let the distributors know, and all that stuff. So hopefully one a month, or one every 6 weeks.
Now, Government Issue are one of those bands that are criminally underrated. It's just like they were going forever throughout the 80s, and they just never got the stuff they deserved.
Our friend Bill here did a collection called, what was it called? I have it. It's four CDs. It's two CD sets.
Complete History Volume 1 and 2.
And I think it's got everything they did except for maybe the Discord EP, their very first one.
You got it, Tom. That's perfect. You got it.
No, that's real cool. Like I said, I have a lot of your releases, and I definitely used to do some mail order stuff, but it was definitely CD era. I'm trying to think the last thing I bought was probably that free 7-inch, but that's been quite a few years now.
It has been, but that's good, too.
Yeah, real good. I like I said, I love those guys, man. One thing I thought was...
I'm sorry to interrupt. You know the Freeze record I'm doing, One False Move? I'm also including the songs from the 10-inch split with the Bull Weevils as bonus songs to that.
Yep. Which one of those, Neil, was I think they did an Effigies cover.
Oh.
Was it Body Bag? I think it was Body Bag. Or something. They did some kind of a Chicago band cover. Because I have that 10-inch. That 10-inch is great. Deadly Duo, yes.
Yeah, a Deadly Duo. The Bull Weevils covered a Breeze song, I think. I should know that, of course.
Yeah, you might be right. I may be thinking something else. All right, forget it. You're right.
Hold on, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now. Although, they do something called Body Rap, which
I know the Bull Weevils have been known to cover old, like, classic Chicago. I know they did an Effigies cover at some point. They did a Naked Raygun cover. They did some...
Oh, yeah, they love those guys, yeah. As they should.
But, you know,
speaking of Chicago, there's a discography from Bowful Stiffs, which is like those same guys.
That's Larry's band. Larry D'Amore, yeah.
That's a good band.
Yep.
One thing I noticed, Dr. Strange / Bill.
Just call him Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill, yes. Well, he seemed to, during the COVID stuff, it seems like Dr. Strange was one of the first ones to sort of harness the power of Facebook to sell records during COVID. Now, a lot of labels eventually caught on to this, but I think he was one of the first ones I saw doing it where you were going live, and I think you're still going live, right? Are you still going live on your Facebook page?
Yeah, you're 100% right. I was just talking to my buddy, the Black Adder, about that, because I've been doing the live thing.
Cracks me up.
Before COVID. I think I've been doing it for 5 or 6 years. But then during COVID, I would do it every Friday, which I still do. And then the viewers, they would say, I'm not doing anything. I won't have a job or I'm at home. You should do another one. I'm like, really? This is fucking stupid. I'll do it because I have nothing to do either. So I started doing them Wednesdays. Okay. So I still do them Wednesday and Friday. And I love it. Even if people don't buy stuff, it's like just the biggest. It's just like having a family. Well, I shouldn't say family because you don't get to pick your family, but it's just a bunch of friends that are all into the same thing. And people watch from around the world, and we all make fun of each other, and we drink beers together, and they'll buy records. I'll tell stories. I'll do skits. And it's a blast.
Well, how does the whole thing work? When you say people buy things, what do you mean?
Okay, so every Wednesday, Friday, 4 o'clock, boom, we go live. And I have a box of records. Hopefully they're rare records, but those are getting very difficult to get. But when they come in, I got rare records. Every show, I give the rules. Here's how it works. I'm going to show you a record. I'm talking to the camera. I'm going to show you a record. If you see something you like, call dibs in the comments section. Put the title of the record, not the name of the band. just put the title of the record, because we might have three Exploited records in a row. Don't put Exploited. Put,
sure.
You know, punk contract.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I have a cowbell. If I cowbell it, money back guarantee. I only cowbell things that I like. You don't like it, send it back. I'll reimburse your shipping. No problem. Don't worry about it. So we do that. And then we'll do skits, all these stupid jokes. I have sound effects. Oh, the, okay, well, speaking of skits.
It's like a morning zoo, Neil. It's like a morning zoo.
It's mayhem. It's pure mayhem. And then people, like locals, come in. We're all just drinking, having fun, making fun of each other. And people like Jared from New Zealand's watching, people from the UK, Canada. And it's just a blast. And so, like I said before, you know, the Blackadder, he's been here for an entire month. He comes over like twice a year, brings a bunch of great records. He's like your age, you know, he's 61, 62 or so. Hmm. He brings like mint copies of Stiffle Fingers, The Jam, you know, all that really great UK stuff. So I was telling the guys at work, you know, the employees, I'm like, because I always play jokes on the Blackadder. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? Kind of screwed up, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to drug him. I'm going to drug that guy. And they're like, oh, man. I go, I'm doing it. And then Poncho that works there, well, Poncho, because he's into this shit, give me some mushrooms. And so he got me mushroom capsules, right? So I've been doing this for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to get him. The guy's like, I don't know. I go, well, I haven't done mushrooms since high school. What if he has a bad heart? What if this? I'm setting it up. What if he has a bad heart? What if he's allergic? Well, just give him one. I'm like, nope, I'm doing it. I'm doing three. So, of course, it was a reverse prank. So me and the adder are in on it. And I bought the adder blood capsules, right? So I'm like, I'm going to give you this drink.
Butter for the Kiss Army catalog.
So during the show, he collapses. He grabs one of the displays. He pulls it down. He's face down on the ground. And I'm screaming like, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, and we're filming it. It just happened last Friday. So I pick up the phone. I pretend to call 911. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This guy, he just, Poncho, I think Poncho gave him some drugs. And my friend Poncho, which he actually did take one mushroom and drink, he's just looking at me like, oh, my God, I'm in so much trouble. And then I roll him over. The adder, his blood out of his mouth. And that was a blast. Oh, it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, until Poncho had a heart attack.
He almost did.
Then it wasn't so funny anymore.
Poncho pulls out a pistol and starts blasting.
Yeah, it was fun. So we do stupid shit like that. And sell records.
How long is it?
Oh, fuck.
Is it like an hour or what?
No, 3 hours? 4 hours?
Holy shit.
It's like Jerry Lewis.
I'm just sitting there drinking, having fun, and as long as people are buying stuff and having a good time and people are still watching, it's fun. And people are showing up to the store and, you know, just bringing beers and having a good time. It's fun.
That's awesome.
If you get that rare record, Neil, right? Like, I mean, the odds of somebody walking in and buying a $300 Necros album is pretty low. But if you add, you know, but people all over the internet interested in punk rock stuff, you know, there's probably a buyer out there, right?
Oh, and I charge fair prices. People rarely will even ask because they're regulars. I mean, everything's priced, but they want to be fast. So there's like a feeding frenzy for rare records because I'm always way less than anyone else.
You don't want a lot of hemming and hawing. You just want.
No, they're on it, man. They're like, I want it. Because they know. They've been buying for years. And we haven't sold one record for a rip-off price because, you know, I make money from punk. I don't make money off of punk because punk is something important to me. And you got to be fair to people. And it's still a movement to me. And, there's no reason why you can't have it both ways. Be fair to people, you know, buy a record from them for a fair price, sell it for a fair price.
So you're selling, at the store, it's new and used, I assume, yeah? You have new bins and old bins or whatever? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I know Doc Disc was just there a couple weeks ago. I was supposed to come up with him, but just one thing and another just meant I couldn't make it this time. So hopefully I'll make it up there the next time he comes out. Because let me ask you that. So how did you get hooked up with him in the first place? with Doc Disk.
He was just so, Doc Disk is such a good guy. He is a pure heart.
He is.
Good person.
Yep. Definitely.
He was just a Life Strange guy. He was just watching it, and, you know, he works for Goldmine and has done interviews. He came out when the Boll Weevils came out. And,
yep. He loves them,
He's just a really good person.
Well, it's funny, Neil, because we've often asked that same thing, right? Like, because he's become a real good friend of ours. We just hung out a couple weekends ago in Chicago. And it's like, how does he follow? He seems like such a normal, nice guy. Why does he like us? Like, we're kind of assholes. But we're all friends, so it's all good, right?
Yeah. Right? Maybe we ask the questions that he wouldn't do to or something like that. Maybe that's
what it is. Yeah, that's probably it.
All right,
he's a really good person.
He is.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
And he always finds us good records. All right.
He does.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right, Neil, let's play a song.
Okay. I'm going to keep on the British thing right now. So you mentioned Stiff Little Fingers before. Okay, let me put you on the spot. Which is your favorite Stiff Little Fingers album?
Well, I'll tell you, it's Flammable Material.
Is it
the first one I heard.
It is.
And then Breakout, that song is the song that really made me say, fuck everything, go for it. Breakout, you got to do your own thing, be your own person. You know, win or lose, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, the worst thing in life is to die on your deathbed and say, God, I wish I would have tried that. And Breakout, that song to me is all about that.
Well, there we go. It's a perfect introduction to that. So let's listen to Stiff Little Fingers off the first album, Inflammable Material, 79, with Breakout.
Ain't got no money, but I don't give a damn. Cause when I get it, spin it fast as I can. Got no worries, at least none I can see. Gotta make a fast connection and I'll be free. I gotta break out and leave this life behind. Break out and see what I can find. At least I'm gonna try my luck. Now we don't really give a fuck. Cause I gotta know if I'm a winner and a star of the show. Cause I'm routine for another day. But rules and regulations getting in my way. I gotta break out and leave this life behind. Break out and see what I can find. I'm gonna try my luck. My window really give a fuck. And I won't let anyone put me down. I ain't gonna be nobody's clown. I won't be taken in by their promises, no. I'm gonna try on my terms this time. So if I can do it, you can do it too. Why don't you try it? You got nothing to lose. A boring job living from day to day. Do something different, try to break away. I gotta break out and leave this life behind. Break out and see what I can find. I'm gonna try my luck. My window really give a fuck. I gotta break out and leave this life behind. Break out and see what I can find.
All right, Stiff Little Fingers there with Breakout. And we're actually going to be doing something fairly cool with Stiff Little Fingers in the next couple of episodes, I think, Tom, right? One of the... We might be hearing some stuff we've never heard from before from those guys. So,
they
yeah.
still if we are
get it together.
Band. Yep, they are.
Yeah.
You're
yeah, seeing them in May.
Yeah, May, okay.
Yeah, I think they're doing... I think it's the last U.S. tour, supposedly.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, it's the last U.S. tour of... They're going to keep doing big cities, but not... those
yeah.
in between.
Yeah. But of course, The Who has been saying that for 30 years, so who the fuck knows?
Right? Yeah, I know. Right.
Yeah, I would like to see that. It's during the midweek, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
They play, yeah, I can't remember. I think they play Chicago on like a Tuesday or Wednesday yeah. or some shit like that. Yeah.
Doesn't matter, man. But, you gotta go. Such a good band.
Yeah. Yep. 100%.
Yeah, I haven't seen them for a few years.
Yeah.
Since they put out that album, the last album.
Oh, that was 2014, man. That's like 10
years ago. Was it that long ago? It was a good album.
Yeah, yeah, since they put
They're
out that one.
They're working on
yeah.
a new one. Yeah. They have new songs.
Yeah.
Jake Burns is still wearing that same red and black cowboy shirt.
Yeah, right?
He might be green. And, he might have a new one now. It might be green and black,
yeah.
I think. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, he moved, he moved. He moved. Yeah, he was living in Chicago for the longest time, but I think he just moved to West Virginia.
Really?
Oh, he did. Yeah, I knew he was in Chicago. Okay.
West Virginia?
Yeah, oh, he God. Moved a couple of years earlier.
I'm gonna
deal
less a few Virginia. Days from today. I will be driving through there, so I'll look for him.
Oh yeah, you're going down.
We're going down to South Carolina. South Carolina, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, well, that'll be nice. Yeah. That'll be nice.
I could use a little break. Yeah, you know, I could use a little.
Hey, actually, that's a good question, Bill. I've always wanted to ask people who live in California. Where the hell do you go on vacation? Because most people normally go to California for vacation. So where do you go on vacation?
California. So,
shut up. Well, seriously?
Kind of, yeah. Okay, so in a couple weeks, me and my wife, we're going to go to Palm Springs at the end of April, which is, you know, it's only an hour and a half. Super pretty, super nice. So we go there, or we go up to Big Bear, which is the only place in all of California that experiences all four seasons. And that's only an hour away, maybe. Yeah, like an hour, 45 minutes, depending on traffic. Or Hawaii. That's where people in California go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's so many great places. Yeah. I don't know. I've been to more places outside the U.S. than I have in the U.S. I've been all throughout. I mean, I've been to the U.K. probably 7 or 8 times, and I need to travel more in. I've never even been to the Grand Canyon. Can you believe that? I've never seen the Grand Canyon.
Huh.
Yeah,
me neither. Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, were you ever in a band? Were you ever tempted to do that or no?
No. I was just too busy, you know, like in high school. I lived on my own since I was 17 and just busy drinking, hanging out with my friends, ditching school, going to the beach, you know, just hanging out and just enjoying my buddies. It would have been nice, but no, never got into a band.
Okay. Now, were you ever a skateboarder or anything? And that's whole skateboarding?
No,
scene.
Not really. I was more into, like, BMX, my bike, you know, like, jumping off the curbs. And, you know, we'd jump people laying down or jump boards with nails or trash cans. The bicycle was my thing, was my skateboard.
Okay. Well, there we go. That's that. Because I was going to ask if you ever had any run-ins with Dwayne Peters. I mean,
well, kind of. I used to go to school with Audrey, his sister. She's a couple years younger. Because Dwayne was from Upland. That's where I grew up. And Dwayne's like a couple years older. And then his sister, Audrey, is a couple years younger. And she was part of our group, hanging out. And she's like, oh, my brother's in some band. And they're on this compilation called Who Cares, which is a great compilation. Shattered Faith. Political Crap, which is his first band. But that was it. I mean, he was nothing. Even back then, that was in, what, 80, 81? Then he moved out to Huntington Beach. But, yeah, I never really hung out. That guy is another guy that should be dead. Like, how does that guy still stay alive? He's like a cartoon character. He doesn't know any better. So he can walk off a cliff and just keep walking because he doesn't understand gravity.
Yeah, no shit, right? Yeah. Did you ever put anything out by U.S. bombs or anything, or no?
No, never did. Mm-mm.
Okay, all right. Tom, but I'm running out of questions, buddy.
Well, Dwayne is the one that made Thrasher magazine. He titled that magazine Thrasher. And then, like, him and also Steve Alba, another pro skater. He lives right down the street. He's a good guy. They would skate the pipeline. That was in Upland. And
at Upland, yep. Yeah, one of the gnarliest skate parks around back in the day. They had the full pipe in there.
Devo recorded one of their videos there. Freedom of Choice.
Freedom of Choice. Yeah, with Steve Olsen. And I think it was Steve Olsen. Yeah, I fucking love that old school stuff, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just awesome. Awesome stuff, yeah.
No, Neil, I was going to say, the only thing, you know, I'm so pleased that he's reissuing the One False Move, the Freeze album. Like I said, I guess I just need to pester him to do those German ones that he put out a CD with the two German albums, both on the same CD, and those need to be on vinyl too. And the cover you did was so much better. The original covers on those were brutal. Like the original artwork was horrible.
Which albums were those?
Crawling Blind and.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Fucking hell.
It was two great records. And the thing is, they're great albums, Neil, but Doctor Strange did a CD with both albums on it, and their artwork is much better. So you get like 30
songs. The
songs
are great. Well, that's one thing that people don't realize, or maybe they do. You know, it's very important to have, when you're in talking about the label, you got to have a great band. You have to have great music. But the door, the gateway to listen to that is the album artwork. If the record looks like crap, it's perceived value. They see a crappy looking record and you already have two strikes against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see it at the store all the time. They just put it down, even though, like, that's a good record. I know it doesn't look good, but it is good. So it's important.
It's like that Black Flag album from 10 years ago. It was never going to be a classic Black Flag album, but the cover just killed it. If you remember that, Neil.
Fucking embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. That was South Park. Oh, God.
Yeah,
computer generated. It was laughable.
Because the album
Who
wasn't.
Did that?
It was the singer, Ron.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is too bad. Ron seems like a real good dude, actually. But I've never met him personally. But yeah, it was because it was. The album was like middle of the road, but it could have gone either way, you know, but then it kind of gets ruined by the perception. So,
see, I keep telling people that, though, because coming from the old school, like the bands, obviously, like the Pistols, the Clash, the Buzzcocks, or whatever, they put just as much effort into getting a decent artist for the cover and stuff, and into the cover artwork and their style and all that kind of stuff, as they did into the music. Whereas these days, people just put some fucking wacky ass cartoon on the cover, and that's it. And people just don't want to buy it. You're right. I don't want to fucking buy it.
The English stuff always had such bright colors on it.
Buzzcocks, right. Like you said, or Extra Specs. Yeah, the Buzzcocks really have an eye. All their stuff is really, really meticulous.
Sharp.
But you look at the Pistols or the Buzzcocks, you know, Buzzcocks, they had a little pink or whatever, yellow, you know, and the Pistols had the big yellow and the pink and all these bright colors. Yeah. But like when I was a kid, I'm a little younger than you guys, not a ton, but I'm a little younger. And, you know, it was like you'd see a 7-inch with like a Xerox black and white cover with like some just like horrific scene on it. You'd be like, oh, I'm gonna like that. Like just the great hardcore 7-inches, you know. Just there was a look. There was that black and white Xerox look, you know.
It lets you know kind of what to expect.
Yeah, exactly.
It was these days, though, there's a lot of, especially on some of the pop punk stuff, it's just a lot of like kiddie looking cartoons. And it's just like, I don't want to fucking buy that.
Neil, don't tell anybody, but those are really pop albums. They're not really punk albums. But don't tell anybody. You know, we don't want to hurt you. We don't want to hurt any of the backwards baseball hat kids' feelings.
Any of the bros? Yeah, the bros will be upset. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Well, let's play. Also, you know what? Go ahead. No, I was going to say, no, you go.
We probably should.
Along the same lines is, you know, like when I saw bands like the Dickies is the epitome. When you see a band live, like the Dickies, still, they put on a show. It's the same as the record cover. Everything has to go together. And I just hate seeing a band that's so good, but they look like a bunch of idiots. You know what I mean? Like, just the way they dress. If they were to put on it, like the Weirdos, man, that was a great band. They just look cool.
What, didn't one of those guys just die, actually? One of the guys from the Weirdos?
Yeah.
Did I see that last week?
Yeah, one of the brothers. No, it was a few months ago. Yeah. One of the brothers. I'm not sure how.
They have a nice, they have a like two disc collection out too that we got the Neutron Bomb or whatever it is. There's like a, they were on Bomb or something, weren't they? Or?
Bomb, I think. Yeah, they went Bomb.
Yeah, they started on Danger House, went to Bomb, went to Frontier, but all those records are awesome. They're really good.
Yeah, they were cool. They were real cool. So Neil, yeah,
I think I got a classic quote from fucking Lemmy somewhere where he says something like, "If you want to be a rock star, dress like a rock star. No, nobody wants to go and see like your next door neighbor in a band or something like that." So
wearing your Adidas sweatsuit. Yeah.
Right. Oh, worse. Yeah. You know, just looking like he came from work or some shit. Yeah.
Wow, that was definitely my era, man. All those like skate punk bands—they just wore shorts, baggy shorts, and t-shirts, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Southern California look, my friend.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Which talking about that, let's listen to the Adolescents.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. True enough. Well, that leads right into the Adolescents song, "Kids of the Black Hole." Do you have some links to the Adolescents? Do you know those guys? I assume you do.
Yeah, I know Rick. I know Casey and Tony. Tony lives pretty close. He lives in Sierra Madre, which means nothing, but 25 miles away. And they're all really cool guys. And I'm going to have D.I. play for my friend's 60th birthday in July. So they'll play the store. All those guys are very, very cool, super talented.
Yeah, I love D.I. Man, D.I. had those two classic fucking albums in the mid-80s. Yep.
Just I think all awesome this stuff is great. And they're working on something new. D.I. is way more consistent than the Adolescents. Adolescents have the best punk record, or one of the first record, but yep. D.I. is so consistently like, wow, that was a good record.
Well, they did two in a row that were really good. But the fact of the matter is, the second Adolescence record is really quite good too. But it was so much later; it was like 7 years later or something.
Yeah, it was 87. Brass and Battalion. I love that record too.
Yeah, it's a great record.
Well, let's listen to one of the standouts from the first blue record. Yes. Yeah, first record. Yep. Kids of the Black Hole.
No sound is heard from Unit 2. Where there was once so much to do, was once a green mansion, and now's a wasteland. Our days of reckless fun are through. Primary decor, history recorded in the clutter on the floor. Tuesdays, nights of pride, the nights of bitter speaking, the nights of violence, the nights of noise, the nights I had to ever good, till I understood by the girls and boys.
Adolescence there with the classic Kids of the Black Hole, which I believe was written about a squat or something. Was it in LA or something, or somewhere in Orange County, right?
It was in Fullerton. That was their party house.
Fullerton.
Like back then, everyone, I had a party house. You know, like, because, like I said, I've lived on my own since I was 17. My parents got divorced. They left me a big house all to myself. So that became our black hole. And just people would go every weekend. And in Fullerton, the black hole was their punk rock party house where bands would play and people would hang out and drink and do whatever.
That's what's crazy about that that old documentary, Decline of Western Civilization, the first one, where a lot of that stuff, like X and stuff, they're all living in that shithole. I don't know that was... you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, that first Decline of Western Civilization. Classic stuff, but it's crazy to think of. Back in those days, it's almost impossible to think of that these days.
I know, right?
Wouldn't happen.
I'm hoping I'm going away for a week and leaving my 19-year-old son here by himself, Neil. I'm hoping I don't come home to the kids of the black hole.
House will be, even though I don't know if kids these days do that kind of shit. I don't know. Do like they're all playing video games.
I know, right? They should. Yeah. They should do stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking about like that
all the time.
Yeah, when my parents went away, like, my friends were all drinkers and my sister's friends were all pot smokers, so they would all hang out in the garage, and we'd be in the house, and they'd park at the church, like, several blocks away, so that all the cars weren't at our house. It was a good time.
Ah, there you go. Looking classic.
Good time, man.
Yeah.
All right.
We did.
I think we probably ought to let Dr. Strange go. We appreciate your time, man. You've given us very, very gracefully of your time here, very generously.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you guys being so patient. I'm sorry.
No, it was glad to catch up with you.
No, it was awesome. So if people want to tune into things on Wednesdays and Fridays, when can they tune in, or, you know, how can they get a hold of you guys?
It's simple. Every Wednesday, Friday at 4:00 on Facebook and Instagram. And
that's 4 p.m. Pacific time, right?
Yeah. The only time that matters. Pacific. I'm just
God. Look, no, Greenwich Mean Time, baby.
It's a blast. Greenwich Mean Time. You guys can see Doctor because he watches every single every 2 days. He watches Wednesday, Friday, religiously.
Neil, I'm going to watch it, and if I see Dr. Disk is watching, I'm going to be like, you should buy me that record, Dr. Disk. Buy it for me.
No, you should snipe him. You should snipe him. If he wants something, you should get it in front of him.
I'll bid him.
Yeah. There you go. He'll watch. I guarantee it, because he always does. He's a good guy. He's funny. Yep.
So we just look up Dr. Strange on Facebook, and that's how we can find you guys?
That's it. Dr. Strange Records. Or on Instagram, at Dr. Strange Records. Yeah. You'll see it. It's easy.
Oh. And it's just drstrange.com is the website for mail order, right?
Yeah, drstrange.com or Dr. Strange Records, or I even bought the Rare Punk. Because I did a website before most others. Because like I said, I came from using a typewriter, and I'm like, oh, wow, internet can do this and that. I got to do that. So I just bought those domain names, Dr. Strange, Dr. Strange Records, Rare Punk, and... So they all work.
I didn't realize you were Rare Punk. I've ordered stuff from them too. Okay, I didn't know that was you. Okay.
Man, I bet that Marvel is pissed at you for taking the Doctor Strange domain.
I'm surprised Disney doesn't sue the pants off you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm waiting for it. I don't know. I know. I think about that too, but I didn't do anything illegal. I bought it before then, decades before then.
Got it first.
I think you should
hurry up and go back to college and get your doctorate. Right? So then they can't question that.
Either that or sell it to them for like $10 million.
Yeah.
I got this nickname honestly. I was a medical doctor and I used to get a lot of strange in college. So it's a legitimate nickname.
Right? Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
There you go. Love it. Everybody reach out. Check out, I cannot wait for some of these reissues. I'm sorry there's such a backlog on them. I'm really looking forward to...
I know.
Like I said, I definitely bought a lot of stuff CD era, which, I mean, it's nice, right? I mean, it's nice having everything government issue put out on four CDs that I could just put on a shelf, but there's just not the same as having the individual records, right? It's just not the same.
It's not. The sound, everything. Vinyl is just better.
It is.
Well, talking about that, let me ask you this question. Are you a, if you had the choice, are you a reissue guy or the original version guy?
Probably the original, but I'm not like a stickler. You know what I mean? Whatever.
Interesting.
I have both, but I'm mostly original. Yeah.
I'm not a stickler either, and I'm a cheapskate, so give me the reissue.
So when you're doing these reissues, though, how are you doing them? Are you doing them from, like, do you have access to the original master tapes, or are you doing them from, like, a CD burn, or how are you doing them? Or does it change depending what you have?
Exactly. Both. But, you know, like, getting back to government issue, Tom Lyle, the guitar player, he masters things excellent. So I can send him records or cassettes or CDs, and... He does a really super good job. He makes it sound like the original. He knows what that guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, okay. And by the way, people, if anybody out there is looking for T-shirts of different bands and stuff, so drstrange.com doesn't just have, like, old vinyl or whatever. They have a shit ton of T-shirts. They have all kinds of stuff. It's basically almost a full clothing store, right? You have jackets and shit?
Oh, everything, yeah. We have, like, Harringtons, we have leather jackets, we have T-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, slip masks, everything that you can think of, for the most part, yeah, got it.
How big of a store is it? How big of a store is it?
Like 2,000 square feet, like 1,900 square feet, which is pretty big. Big enough.
Yeah, it is.
But just barely. All
right.
It's getting smaller. Huh? You know, like there's so much stuff, but it works. It's a really neat. Well, you know, I just posted on Facebook and Instagram. My buddy did this. He does like that Google 360. So you can take a virtual tour of the store. You can even walk outside and do it. And then walk to the bathroom. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but walk to the bathroom if you do it.
And you also have vintage flyers that you're selling, right? Or are they just copies of vintage flyers?
They're just copies of my flyers. I would never get rid of my original.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like you get 10 for like $2.90. Dirt cheap. Hmm.
Yeah. Who can tell the difference anyway, except for the dirty paper, right?
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, my friend Tom, unless you got anything else that
I think we better let
talk
him,
about.
Better let him go have his dinner.
Well, I have a colonoscopy to do.
You're doing one or getting one? You're performing.
Both at the same time.
Exactly.
Yes. He does them for fun, though. He's not.
You could save a lot. Neil, you could save a lot of money if you do it with a buddy.
Damn right.
You might get an infection, but who knows?
Hey, you do mine, I'll do yours. It'll be all right. Find a friend with small hands.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. So, thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. Once again, thanks for being so patient with me.
No, it's all good, man. Everybody go check out, go follow Dr. Strange on Facebook if you don't already, and watch him work his magic on a Friday.
Yes, indeed.
It's zany.
With the colonoscopy
machine. Part used car salesman, part carnival barker. It's a good time.
It's all that. It's mayhem, but it's good mayhem. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. I just love hanging out with people, you know, during the live stream and in person. It's just a blast. Just watch it, and it's become part of this weird, fun family.
Excellent. Well, thanks, man, and good luck with the reissues. Like I said, looking forward to that. Looking forward to hearing what you got coming out. So we'll definitely be paying attention.
I'm going to play out with one of his choices, which was 999 Inside Out. So, thanks again
love
for coming
band.
On. Check out his... Oh, go ahead. Yeah, talk about 999.
Okay, well, they're playing... I've seen them play, like, when they came out here in the 80s, and they're playing again at Punk Rock Bowling, and that's one of those bands. I was so fortunate I released a 7-inch, because that's one of those bands that are so important to me. 999, one of the first real punk records I ever bought was 999, and Inside Out, that is such a good song, and they still kick ass. Great band.
All right, there you go. We're going to play out with that. So thanks a lot for coming on, everybody. Thanks for listening. Keep a little mark in your heart. Stay free.
Smell you later.
Smell you later, everybody. Thanks.
Okay, that brings us to the end of another show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep a little mark in your heart, and we'll be back the same mark time, same mark channel.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Good night.
What a fucking rotter.
Till I die. What a load of old shit.
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.